This is WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Community Matters, a program that focuses on the concerns in the Tri-County area. It's hosted by Jane Herring, Marcia Connett, Joan Rory, and Ron Purty. Community Matters also shares its time slot with the 32-time award-winning WGTD Radio Theater. And now, here's today's host.
Good morning and welcome to Community Matters. I'm Marcia Connett, your host. I am so glad that you're with us today because I have one of my favorite guests with me, Denise Lockwood. Denise is the owner, manager, mother of the Racine County Eye, an online news source. And Denise, first of all, tell us what your real title is.
Chief Cook and Bottle Washer, is what I would say. So I am the owner, the publisher. I oftentimes will do some journalism. I've been doing quite a bit lately, but basically what I'm doing is running a news organization that is about four human beings strong on the full-time status, but then I have six other freelance writers, fabulous human beings that really are in the trenches with us every single day. That write everything from sports to they do stories around human interest features and really capture the heart and soul of Racine County every day.
Great. Well, and I can remember back in the very early days, the Racine County Eye was, you know, was up against print papers because those existed back in those days. They hardly exist today. And it was sort of this fluffy, you know, they came out and covered my wiener dog race and, you know, things like that. But you have really taken this to a whole new level now.
Thanks for noticing. Yeah, so the transformation, I think, really started about a year ago, where I took a look at the landscape and really did some soul searching and looking at the community and saying, what do they need and what's missing from their news diet? And so I'm not trying to do everything for everybody. I am trying to do stories that are solutions-based, that are really touching on some of the challenges, the successes, and the pain points that we have as being sandwiched between Chicago and Milwaukee and not always the top of the ticket with regards to TV news, and adding more depth and breadth to really big topics around the economy, immigration, education, government reporting. That meat and potato kind of journalism that I fell completely in love with 26 years ago. Yes.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. I didn't realize you had been at this that long.
No, actually, it's a little bit longer. I started very part-time stringing, and my roots are actually in farming reporting. When I was growing up in Ohio, I wrote for the Firelands Farmer newspaper.
That's very cool. Very cool. I bet you know more about soybeans than anybody I know.
No, milk pricing. Anybody that's in the milk producing business will understand that I know how milk is priced, and that should impress you.
It is impressive.
It is a hard nut to crack, let me tell you. But
it has to be.
It's interesting because it's really coming around full circle, especially with what I'm about to tell you.
Yes, so let's talk about where the Racine County Eye has been and where it is now.
Well, and really what we have an audience of over 200,000 people that come to the news website every single month, which is fabulous. So we're becoming more regional. And one of the things that I kind of looked at the assessment of what's missing was last year we really did a lot of deep dives around politics. And the reason why I wanted to do that, not through just a local lens, but a national lens, was because I saw this really big conversation, this shift, and really trying to help people understand what's going on, and making sure that they have the ability to connect with stories from a very local level. Because when we talk about policy and politics, which are two very different things. Mm-hmm. It's a different animal when you look at it through the local lens of what does this look like, feel like, live like, right? Mm-hmm. So these big decisions that are happening at the national level are going to have a very big impact on us. And so what Heather Asiambi and I, she's my managing editor. She's fabulous. Shout out to Heather, because she and I started the news website 11 years ago. And so at the end of the day, we were like, well, we've got the Republican National Convention happening in Milwaukee, and the DNC, the Democratic National Convention, was happening in Chicago. And I'm like, we should be there. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily because our coverage of national politics was going to be the end all and be all, but because I wanted to look at things through a very different lens, specifically in knowing our communities, right? So when you look at Racine County, Kenosha County, even Milwaukee County, we have very similar pain points with education, with immigration, workforce development. We don't have a job creation problem anymore. We have a people workforce creation problem. And so having written for like the Milwaukee Business Journal, and even farming is all institutional knowledge that we can use to differentiate ourselves and connect on a greater, more deeper level than anyone else.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, so that was a lot. It was a lot.
It is, but it's a good basis, because I'm always curious, where do you get your news to share to us?
So I'm a big fan of the bottom up, okay, and data. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that having written for Patch taught me was paying attention to how people take story in, looking at how they communicate about stories. So actually, I kind of use my Facebook business wall as a kind of a petri dish of where is the knowledge and what do people need help with understanding, knowing that not everybody's going to want to understand, or they think they've got it right and it may not be right. But at the end of the day, I have an ethical obligation to communicate to a wide audience, right? So that means I'm looking through the lens of taxpayer dollars, the mom that may be on social, like the entitlements, like Medicaid and free and reduced lunches, the farmer that's getting farm subsidies and counting on, and the business, the manufacturing companies that are making the tractors and the motors and things along that line. That's what's missing from journalism, okay? And so you can have your feelings about politics. That's great. That's not the same as policy, all right? And so I feel very driven and developing a news organization, not just Denise, not just a Heather, developing a news organization and a news platform that values that, okay? And so what that looks like, one of the beautiful things that has happened is I belong to a professional organization that has really helped us connect more. And what that means is that we have a lot more grant making for profit and nonprofit organizations. And so we were the recipients of a Report for America grant that will pay for half of a first year salary for an education reporter. Now, wow. I also now need to raise the rest of it.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
And that's going to cost probably about over a 3-year time frame, because I don't want to just look for 1 year. I want to look for, so the tax title and out the door is probably about $65,000 per year. For 3 years, that's roughly $195,000, almost $200,000 so that I need to come up with. So the grant will pay for $50,000 of that. I need to come up with the rest of it. And so they are also, they were part of the accelerator program, which basically means that they will help us write and find grants. They will also let us use their nonprofit status to collect tax-deductible donations. So if you are so inclined, I seriously need anybody who's interested in making sure and ensuring that we connect on a deeper level with news stories that matter, I need you.
No kidding.
Yeah, so we can, from foundations, we can ask for foundation help. We can ask for individual donors to contribute. We can also, somebody who's retired who has a few hundred bucks, they can donate to us and write it off on their taxes.
Nice. Yeah. Now, I got so many questions, I don't even know where to start.
Yep.
When I, as a reader, read an article that you or your staff has written, I know that there's also people all over and other news sources that read what you write.
Yes.
So do they pay you for using your stuff?
Yeah. So here's the beautiful thing. Also, that this national, this group, basically everybody in journalism land woke up many years ago, probably about 10 years ago, and looked around and said, local journalism needs to survive. We now have less local news websites than we do fake news websites.
Wow.
There are more fake news websites. I probably said that incorrectly. So we have more fake news websites than we do local news websites right now. And that's one of the reasons why you're seeing so much happening that's going underreported, because I can tell you I've written for the Kenosha News and the Milwaukee Business Journal and local newspapers for better near half of those 26 years. And it is a really tough business, and newspaper land is very difficult right now. And so you've seen a massive national movement, like even the legacy TV news stations, like MSNBC just did major firings, AP, the LA Times, this is a national travesty, right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of it is about losing trust, okay?
Oh my gosh, yes.
And here's where the beautiful thing happens with local news. We are considered the most trustworthy, right? Out of the milieu of local, regional, national, that legacy piece of it, the local news folks are the ones that are most trusted. Mm-hmm. Why? Because we've got the what I affectionately call butts in the seat.
Right.
So we're sitting in those school district meetings and those county board meetings. But it's even getting more difficult. And here's why I need people to understand that policy is so much different than politics. And we need to understand this stuff because there's a lot coming up the pike.
There really is. And yeah. I know you mentioned fake news sources. And can you explain what a fake news source is or what it looks like? If you want to name names, I'm fine with that as well. But
I don't
get so much of that sent our way.
There is. And I think that there's a lot of room in the land for some serious education around media literacy.
Oh, amen.
And when, I taught a class for one year and I couldn't even make it through the whole year. It was so horrible. I wasn't good at it. It wasn't my thing. But anyway, one of the things that I noticed is that how we mediate information as true or untrue is very much a lost kind of part of our DNA.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see that in how people take story in, even on my Facebook page, even in my email box, because I get a lot of folks thinking they know how I vote, which is
interesting. Oh, for sure.
But also they never go to story. They're always talking about me and Racine County I, but they don't talk story to me.
Ah.
And when you don't talk story to me, that tells me where your head is at.
Mm-hmm.
And this happens like daily. My friend. And
those of us who've seen your Facebook page know that.
I get a little spicy there. It's a lot. But here's the kicker. If your focus is on the organization and not the content they're producing, that is a missed opportunity. And I think we as a country really need to take a step back, especially with regards to what's coming and understanding how government works. So to focus on that, Racine County I started a Government 101 project, right?
Oh.
Yeah. So that's one of the things that should be pretty much cooking on grease probably in the first, within the last few weeks of March.
Okay.
That you'll see that really kind of shine. It'll be a weekly story. And so that's meant to help people understand basic things like how to read their tax bill, the line items that are on the tax bill. So when we say my taxes are increasing on a property tax, knowing that 2/3 of that is usually education, we need to ask questions of why, but also understand the thought behind the thought of that how schools are funded is really important. We're writing a story right now around that state funding of state aid, and it is not easy work.
No, I'm sure it's not.
But it's really important. It's really important because if we don't understand it, and we set a torch to everything that we think is not serving us, maybe not asking the question of if it is or is not, then we need to take a step back and as taxpayers ask why and really listen.
Well, you know, I have always said I don't mind paying taxes that support schools because when I'm in the home, I want those people taking care of me educated.
Right.
You know, I don't want a next generation of know-nothing. So, yeah, so I'm good with that. But I know not everybody feels that way. Why do you think so many people, have lost their faith in journalism? Why, you know, did it start with a president in 2016 talking about fake news when they were referring to what most of us saw as legitimate news?
So I, just through my own lens, and this is...
Yeah, please.
My take on this is I think it started well beyond, you know, Trump.
Okay.
It goes back to the Tea Party. Yes. And I think that was a definite dominant... And a lot of it, we came off of 2008, right? 2008 was the housing boom.
Yep.
The crash, I should say. I apologize. The housing crash. And people were unemployed. A lot of people, the construction, a lot of people were just in pain. And they were looking to government to help them figure this out. And they saw the banks getting bailed out. They saw the car companies getting bailed out.
Everybody but them.
That was the tinder to the fire, right?
Okay.
And so there was this one, when Paul Ryan was stumping, I want to say back in 2007, 2008, there was a big rally. I want to say it was in Caledonia. I'm having one of those not enough coffee moments.
That's right, it was a long time ago.
But people were really angry, and that problem became political fodder of how to agitate the base.
Mm-hmm.
And we have continued that behavior of in politics of agitating the base to come out. And that's why you're seeing groups like Moms for Liberty and the mm-hmm. Heritage Foundation and a lot of the project. And it's not to say this doesn't happen on the Democratic side, because it certainly does too.
Absolutely, yeah.
So I want to make sure that people understand that I'm seeing this holistically, because, you know, the Democratic Party also dropped the ball on quite a bit of answering that pain too, or else they wouldn't mm-hmm. be struggling, right?
Right, right.
And so this agitation, not resolving things, I think has gotten to the anxiousness of why we're not okay. Mentally, yeah. we're not okay. And we're seeing this in the data, right? We're mm-hmm. seeing this in our kids are not doing well mentally. You're seeing a lot more bullying and hate crime. And so mm-hmm. that's a really big, and you see it play out on social media all the time. And so you've got this not figuring stuff out mentality.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yeah, it has just been so chaotic lately, you know, and not really lately, like you say, for a number of years, we've struggled with things that we used to believe in completely, now starting to question all of those. And as we were going through that, all of a sudden, the newspapers were drying up. You know, they were no longer able to support themselves. And news.
And so in that vacuum, people were empowered on social media, and then also with like Substack and a lot of the other platforms, you know, anybody can start a news organization. And, you know, mm-hmm. that brings with it some challenges.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it takes a lot of critical thinking on our part to get through all that. We're going to take a really quick break just to remind people that they're listening to Community Matters here on WGTD 91.1. And we're talking with Denise Lockwood today. Denise is with the Racine County Eye. And we're talking about kind of all things news kind of today. Things are so different today than they were even when you and I spoke the last time, Denise. And that's only been a matter of months or maybe a year. Let's talk a little bit about how an organization like the Racine County Eye can stay objective, can stay nonpartisan. Because as you said, there's so much that comes at us in the form of news, but is so partisan. And it's sometimes really hard to tell what's true and what's not. And is it full truth? Is it partial truth? How do we sort that out?
Yes. Okay. So there is the how I do news, and there's how my readers take news in.
Okay.
So let's kind of approach it from two different places, because that's, I can't control how people take my news in. Mm-hmm. But I can, one of the things that I think are the key differentiators in Racine County Eye is where are the solutions, right? What does that look like? Let's set the stage for that conversation to happen. And so our focus over the next few months is going to be really having some in-person events, because I think people are very hungry for what is the highest and best information and what does the solution look like, and how do we empower our representatives in politics to make those really tough decisions and come together and figure stuff out, because that's mm-hmm. one of the big issues is people are not doing the things that are solving problems. And these are complicated, right? These are not easy things. And so one of the things that I'm going to be doing, and by the time this airs, we'll have the announcement on the exact dates. But so here's what we're doing in really looking at things holistically. And I think that's the key to the city, right? Mm-hmm. These national things are happening. What does this mean to state? What does this mean to county? What does this mean to local? What does this mean to the mom, the taxpayer, the business owner, the government entities that are charged with tasks? And I think that's the one solutions-based journalism focus that I think is going to win friends and influence people.
Yeah.
The most, because when you look in the eye of a mom who's on Medicaid and then you're messing around with those allocations, but also free and reduced lunches could by chance go away. And food prices, because the agricultural economy is so fragile right now.
Oh.
It is getting hit by tariffs. It's the threat of tariffs. It's the pause on spending. And these are things that are well within the right of the current administration to do.
Mm-hmm.
But what does that mean? What does it look like? What does it live like? And how do I help my community navigate that, right? So those are the things that we are so passionate about when we're mapping out these buckets of story, because I can't do it all because I'm small, but I want to get big. And if you want to help me, I would love that. But those are the things that I think are really powerful, because when you hear a farmer trying to figure out their workforce issues because they aren't able to hire people who are undocumented, which are literally 70% of the workforce in dairy production, that's a big deal. That's a business problem, right?
Absolutely.
So if farmers are not able to hire at a certain wage, that means they're going to need more money to come up with at the market. If the farm subsidies go away, which are basically being definitely talked about in Project 2025, also in current budget cycles with the farm bill, these things need to make sense to people quickly, okay? Because I know I've covered farming for a long time. A 1% decrease in demand will cause that agricultural economy to be unstable. Now, that could also ripple through Racine's economy pretty quickly, because we make tractors, we make motors, we make the paper. Get the paint, all of those things, those components, and also in China. So you've got also, just it's just really complex. So if you don't have news sources that are willing to walk through that fire, they are not worth your time.
Wow.
I'm going to say that again. They are not worth your time, right? If they're only talking about politics and not policy, in talking to thinkers and economists, you know, you need to have that data, that information, that knowledge, that wisdom, and going up through that cycle of how we know, right? That's what's going to add stability.
Absolutely. Well, and when I was teaching for the technical colleges, one of the things, and I made my students bring in a news story every single day. That's how we started our morning, because so many people came in late because of buses and stuff. And so we would always talk about the news, and it was, and I would encourage them to not just go to one source. Say you found a story about XYZ. Look at a few more sources about XYZ, and tell me, are they handling it the same way? Is it the top headline in all places? Because it's so easy to get trapped into, gosh, I like this particular newscaster, or I really like, because they're so upbeat, I really like this place.
They're the cheerleaders.
Yeah.
They annoy us.
It's so hard because we're just human beings. But multiple news sources are so critical. And clearly that's what you're saying too. You're not finding news sources, but you're finding multiple people to talk to who are affected by whatever the article du jour is.
Well, and that's one of the things that we're also in the process of doing. So that means that we also, in that vein, and this is specifically why I'm doing this, is we're partnering with other newsmaking entities like the Wisconsin Watch, and we now have the capability to pull AP stories in.
Nice.
Wisconsin Examiner and Badger Project, which does some really fabulous work around the campaign financing. And we also have a partnership with WRJN, and I would love the partnership with WGTD. So, that's how we can stick to the ability to bring in all sorts of voices and make sure that we don't have to tell it all, but I want to be that place where people come get the highest and best information, right? And it is hard right now. So, the AP just got kicked out of Air Force One and the Pentagon. MSNBC was just kicked out of the Pentagon. So was Politico. And this rotation happens annually, but the people that they're putting in are Breitbart and Newsmax, and they are not the bastions of truth-telling, I can tell you that.
That's scary. That's very scary.
It is. It is. And so, and I think that local news is where we need to have that voice of reason, right? So when we talk about birthright citizenship and talk about immigration, it's helping workforce and businesses, sorry, that keeps going on, basically we need to deal with those people's problems too. So how are they doing it? How are they managing it? Mm-hmm. And what does that mean to them? And how are they going to pick the cabbage from the field if there's nobody to help them?
Right, right.
Because that's a really real life problem, right? Mm-hmm. And we need to figure out if we don't get food from the U.S. Department of Agricultural National School Lunch Program, where are kids getting food? Because we have food deserts in Racine. We have no grocery stores. We have two tiny, tiny grocery stores on the north side and the south side. And we need to talk about this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. You mentioned Project 2025.
Yep.
And there are those who don't believe it's a thing. There are those who have gone to the cross because of Project 2025. Tell us from a journalist standpoint how you view Project 2025.
So I can tell you that when we covered the Republican National Convention, the folks from the Heritage Foundation were talking at the Moms for Liberty meetings. And so they were on the stage with Scott Walker and Ron Johnson and state senators, federal congressmen, talking about getting rid of, the DEI pieces. And so for anybody who thinks that Project 2025 isn't a thing, it is actually, there are entire websites dedicated to tracking all of the policies that are in Project 2025 and looking at what is being presented at the federal level. Now, I actually get the press releases from the White House. They're so aligned with Project 2025. It's a thing. That's the short answer. But what I feel compelled to do as a journalist that serves a local audience is, what does that look like when you're tying funding from DEI initiatives? But the question, you have to take a step back. What is diversity, equity, and inclusion? And so we're going to have a whole series of in-person newsmaker events talking about that.
Oh, that's exciting.
I know. So if anybody out there wants to help me sponsor it, that would be good.
No, I read somewhere that if you don't like DEI, you cannot refer to it as DEI. You must refer to it as, I hate diversity, equity, and inclusion. Because no one in their right mind can say that and mean it.
Well, we spent a lot, and one of the things that I think is really compelling and interesting is what happened in Racine, because it was named the second worst place in the country for Black people to live.
Right.
There is an insane amount of data that says we didn't get it. Okay. There was a lot of disinvestment in major neighborhoods in the city. And what was really interesting is oftentimes you will hear people talk about the ghetto, those neighborhoods. That's a bad neighborhood, right? And the banking industry, up until 81, 82, mm-hmm. Was using redlining, which meant that they would purposely not invest in specific, and there are maps and data. If you go to Higher Expectations, they have a whole section on their website that shows that overlays the number of people in the Lincoln King neighborhood, the number of kids who are poisoned by lead, the number of kids that graduate from high school, the number of kids that go to prison, that their earning potential. All of that is DEI. Is diversity,
exactly,
and inclusion. Now, we went pretty whole hog into this. Like, the Biden administration wrapped their arms, and culturally, it was a lot of money. Like, even for the city of Racine, like the Lincoln King neighborhood, they've put in, just in the federally qualified healthcare center and community center, $68 million. That's a lot of money.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
It costs $10 million to feed the entire Racine Unified School District breakfast and lunch, some dinners. That's a lot of money. Mm-hmm. All right. So the question, from a lens of taxpayer and business owner and mom and those folks, the question has to be, okay, well, if you don't have an infrastructure to feed people, if the grocery stores aren't there, who's feeding them? Where are they getting that food? How are we going to make people okay? And it doesn't necessarily mean we have to pay for it, but creatively looking through the lens of, okay, this is happening. This is why I'm doing these stories. All right. So when somebody emails me and says, you're biased, okay, but I'm going to still talk about policy. You're talking politics. I'm not talking politics, because I've sat with this and looked at this and heard this. I've been in the room where folks have talked a lot about this. Okay. So we need to have an awareness of what's coming up the pike.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can tell you, when we do not feed children through the U.S. Department of Agriculture, that is going to impact the family farms and farms in general in Wisconsin hard, because the federal government spent $12 billion with a B annually on these lunches.
Right. Now,
they're also talking about the state just proposed in their budget $158 million free lunch program, okay? That's going to also go bounce from your federal line item to your state line item.
Of course.
Or it's going to be, if the school district pulls that through, goes into your Fund 10, right? So though you want me talking about this.
Absolutely. Well, and going back to our farmers right here need to be able to sell their products
right
to the federal government, or, and I'm assuming it doesn't, it's federal as opposed to state, but, you know, even if they reduce SNAP, which is what we always used to call food stamps, or food
stamps. That's one of the things they are talking about too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's less places for the farmers to be able to sell their products. And it's just, it's so scary because it's just such a domino effect for.
But it doesn't have to be scary if you know it's coming, right?
Okay. Well, okay?
It doesn't have to be scary.
Yeah.
You know, are these shifts, so maybe it means that the industry, the industries like the milk marketing board or the Wisconsin dairy industry, they look at different frameworks, and maybe it's, we do instead of like the farm to school, we do farm to table. There's some ways creatively we could do this. We have to have these conversations.
Exactly. And we have to stop complaining and get creative. I was
listening. Roll up our sleeves and figure it out.
Exactly. I was listening to an alderman on a Milwaukee news station last night, whine and complain. It's like, let's try to fix it instead of just pointing out what's wrong.
Right.
So I'm really excited to hear you talk about, you know, there not to be afraid, that we need to be proactive and we need to get ahead of all of this and think about how we're going to function. It might be different, it might be foreign, but it could be okay.
Yeah, absolutely. But we can't just get there by talking about politics and blaming me. Because I'm not the problem, I can guarantee.
Exactly.
You want to talk about story, and we can have a conversation about story, but.
Absolutely. Well, and we've got only 2 minutes left. I can't believe how quickly this time has just flown. If someone, all right, to first tell us where to find you on the internet.
So it's RacineCountyIEYE.com.
Okay.
We actually are a free news website, but if you're so inclined to support us, which we desperately and would love to have, either a subscription or if you want to become an individual donor, you go, there's a support us button, and you can put like the donation amount and support us because we definitely need you.
Absolutely. Well, news is a group effort, you know, whether it's, you know, giving you tips on news stories or us learning from what you share with us. So, and I'm assuming on your website, we can find you, we can find your reporters, we can find where to complain if we feel like we need to complain about policy, but not politics.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can complain. I'm just not always going to answer because I get a lot. And you know, there are things that I'm just not going to put energy into, and that's not one of them. So if we want to talk about what could be written about, I'm certainly open to hearing about that because I need to serve the community holistically.
Absolutely. Well, Denise, this has been fascinating, and we can't wait so long for you to come back again because there's always something new happening at the Racine County Eye. Denise Lockwood, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
And thanks to all of you who have joined us today on Community Matters. We will talk to you again soon.
You've been listening to Community Matters. All programs are archived at WGTD.org. Click shows. This is WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva.
Support comes from UW Parkside's Jazz Week, a week-long event with nightly concerts March 17th through the 21st, featuring Bolivian-born singer Abelise Guardia Faraguti and jazz drummer Frank Rosalie. More information at uwp.edu/the Rita.
WGTD HD, Kenosha Racine.